There's a war on America as founded, and one of those who's been funding a lot of the other side is George Soros. He's recently handed things over to his son, Alex. And meanwhile, Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld is the founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She wrote a book called The Soros Agenda. Recently, Dr. Ehrenfeld wrote about a partnership between Soros and Bard College to essentially spread more Marxism in our society. She says, quote, Soros's open society doctrine serves as a clarion call to resistance and revolution, evoking ideas from Karl Marx and Leon Trotsky about permanent revolution. Judging by his heir, Alex Soros, who continues to fund progressive leftist resistance groups, George's ideology is now promised to endure and spread, end quote. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld to the program. Thank you, Dr. Rachel, for being with us. We appreciate it.
I am glad to be with you.
Okay, so tell us about the book that you wrote called The Soros Agenda. What is the overall goal? What is it George Soros really wants?
George Soros, when he started his, when he began his not-for-profit organization, the Open Society, it was called the Institute at the time. Now it changed over time to the Open Society Foundations, because many foundations. It was in 1993. And he said that his goal was to change the United States of America. Well, looking at what has been happening and what is happening every day now throughout especially blue states, it seems that he had been quite successful. If we take the anti-ICE demonstrations, for example, he's one of the funders. There are other funders, like Neville Roy Singham, who lives in Shanghai. He's an American who lives in China and spends many, many millions here. And also his wife, who runs, established Code Pink, which is also a woke, radical left, anti-American organization. So there is money going from many others. Think about when reporters have collected information, the Congress is looking into it, and they have said, well, they will get all the information. I hope they do. Because the reports are saying, okay, so the Open Society Foundation, and they go to documentation that was filed with the IRS, or reports on money that the organizations themselves actually list, show that the Open Society Foundation gave X millions, whatever, hundreds of thousands of dollars, since when and what the amounts are. However, Open Society Foundation also gives to many other foundations that, in turn, transfer the money to the same anti-ICE organizations that are demonstrating. So the money is not coming only from Open Society. It is coming through secondhand, indirectly, from other foundations, from other organizations that receive money from the Open Society Foundation. This has been going on for a very long time, not only on this issue, on the anti-ICE. It's basically anti-American. So this has been going on for a long time.
In your article that you said, and I just quoted this a moment ago, Soros's Open Society doctrine serves as a clarion call to resistance and revolution, evoking ideas from Karl Marx and Leon Trotsky about permanent revolution. Let's just take a moment and back up, since a lot of people might not be familiar with Karl Marx or Leon Trotsky or, you know, Lenin, who, you know, Trotsky and Lenin worked together. Give us a little bit of a history lesson. Take your time about this idea of permanent revolution, because all of that ended so badly for millions and millions of people. Do we want that in America? It's so anti what America's all about with the founding fathers and so forth. Ordered liberty under God. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, with Marx, there is no creator. There's no God. Therefore, we have no rights. I rest my case. I want you to go ahead and wax eloquent about Marx, Trotsky, Lenin, Mao, the whole shebang.
Well, if I don't want to send people, it would be nice if people go back and read Marx and read Lenin and read Trotsky and about the communist revolution, about communism in Venezuela, communism in Nicaragua, communism in Cuba. What does it get you? Now, it takes everything from you, including your freedom. Mostly your freedom, and you're living under a tyranny, so you cannot, they try to control even what you think. So, but if people today look at what the propaganda is about, that the anti-ICE organizations and demonstrations and congressmen are actually repeating all the time, they are repeating actually the same ideas of, you don't have individual freedom, you cannot do what you want, you have to go together with the group, and the group dictates to you what to do, and you can see it really by the herd mentality of these people. Now, for example,
the Democratic Socialists of America. In other words, Mondami is an example of that particular group, and they've been very successful. By the way, his candidacy being an example of that.
Right. Yeah, his candidacy is, and his election. However, he just came in, so he didn't have enough time to prove what he will do. In the meantime, we already know that he has somewhere between 12 to $20 billion deficit in the budget. So how is he going to pay, even if he taxes everybody to the kazoo, it will not pay for everything that he promised free. So, and he will be sued by everybody and his uncle who has any kind of property in the city because they want to confiscate it. So, it's not nationalized. It's the city would like to take it. What we are seeing is really, Friday, for example, was a big demonstration resistance. Day for all the supporters of the anti-ICE movement. Many people who went to demonstrate in freezing cold, really, have been paid. They have been paid from the get-go. And how to demonstrate, how to organize, how to incite others to join, how to counter the police and other law enforcement. These were actually steps to do that have been published in a handbook, 23 pages of handbook or training of pragmatic steps to take, a practical guide to resist the Trump agenda. That was the title of it. It was published in 2016, the first Trump administration. So, and there were other, of course, training guides But they are following them, and they have been trained, and they, you could see on interviews on television, they said, no, we have been trained to do this. So in agitation and resistance.
So the idea that these are just spontaneous protests, this represents, you know, the vast majority of we the people across America. No, a lot of this is paid and ultimately paid by George Soros and Singham.
Yeah, and others. But the whole notion, well, we've seen it a lot until last year and for the last 2 years with the pro-Hamas demonstrations. Those were not spontaneous either. And anti-Israel and pro-Hamas and anti-American and pro-Hamas and Hezbollah. You could see them. They organized. Israel was attacked on October 7, 2023 by Hamas. And on October 8th in the morning, and taking into account that there is 7-hour difference, they are ahead of us. But next morning here in the United States on October 8th, there were already demonstrations for Hamas, okay, against Israel, starting to blame Israel for everything that Hamas had done, killing children and pregnant women and genocide. It turned into genocide. It was really, it is amazing how effective this propaganda indoctrination for many years is actually operating. And that is part of really what I was referring to when I wrote the article about last week about Soros's $1 billion donation to Bard College. Soros have been, I'm saying $1 billion because this was $500 million, but Bard raised the other $500 million and more. But Soros has been funding Bard College for decades, and he had given them by now more than $1 billion. So, and what is the role of Bard College? Soros decided that he wants to leave something which will leave a mark, a huge mark, on society after he's gone. So he chose Bard College as overseeing the higher education distribution, really for lower education or for brainwashing, if you want, in the hands of Bard College. They have now, Soros have been funding, and I'm giving just a very brief summary of which universities, for example, are under this umbrella. It's in New York, it's not only Bard, which is upstate New York, but you have in Boston, in California, in Germany, even Al-Quds University in the West Bank, it's a Palestinian Hamas-affiliated bank, Arizona State University, the American University in Central Asia, in Kyrgyzstan, and another university in Bangladesh. And there are many, many other faculties and universities around the world that have been receiving money from him. And not only that, he had been giving money a lot to think tanks, funding and owning actually publications online and offline. It's really a wide operation.
And it's amazing how negative all this influence is. We're out of time. acdemocracy.org for more information on Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld. Thank you, Dr. Rachel. We appreciate it. All the best.
You're welcome. Thank you.